Devin Almonte here. Welcome. This is Insight Out, where we learn to look at our faith from God's eyes and figure out how to live that out in our everyday. And today we are talking about something that feels small, maybe even harmless, until we, of course, give it more thought, think about it more deeply. It's called return fraud. Immediately we hear that, we're probably thinking about all those scammers that we see on TV and social media that are ripping off stores in every possible way. Chances are we've been in line behind someone and we just knew that they were scamming the system. You can see it by their actions. And we just thank God we are not like those people. We would never resort to such behavior. But let's say Amazon drops off a package at our door. Let's say it's printer paper. That's a great item to order, have delivered because it's heavy. That's what we do. We order Amazon Basics printer paper. So anyway, let's say we go to the door and we see two big boxes at our door. Oh, it must be the printer paper we ordered, except what's this other box? Did they send us two? And we find out that it is. Did I order this? We do a quick check to see if we were charged. Nope. What do we do? Do we keep it? Do we rationalize that it's their mistake? They should have known not to send this to us. Do we assume they really must like us because we're great customers? Or do we take the honest route and let Amazon know, hey, you sent us two. I did not order this other item. I'm starting here because these little decisions, they tell us something more. They tell us something bigger about ourselves. And so today I want to talk through three big ideas. One, what return fraud really is and what I find to be the shocking ways that it's showing up in our culture. Two, what these habits say about us as a society. And three, what scripture has to say about integrity and how we can respond differently. What's interesting to me about this is that return fraud isn't always sophisticated. I mean, right now, I kind of wish I could have someone on here that could show us what sophisticated scammers do, because I find it fascinating just to learn how insane organized crime can be. But I don't know anybody like that, unfortunately, or I guess I should say fortunately. But I do know people like me, and I do know people that consider themselves to be good people, ones who aren't plotting and scheming about the million ways that we can scam the system. These are the many average, everyday Americans who are what I call surface-level scammers. Surface-level scammers are scammers that rationalize and justify their fraud. What do I mean? Well, these are people that take advantage of the systems or the companies or the industries that they feel owe them something, or they feel like the systems take advantage of them. So they feel justified. And this type of surface level scammer also usually doesn't take the extra time or initiative to make things right if trying to do the right thing inconveniences them, and especially not if it's going to cost them to do the right thing. So while I understand a few of the tricks, my scamming knowledge might be limited here. Feel free to chime in on Facebook if you have other ideas. I'd love to hear them. Here are just a few examples of things that people will do. You order something. The company sends two when you ordered one. You keep it. You see a small scratch on your item and call and you say, it's a huge scratch. They give you a discount. Or maybe you tell the company you never received the item when you did. And not all of these are done with, I guess, intentional or obvious malice. We don't think it's hurting anybody, but even these little dishonest choices, it does chip away at our integrity. And it costs companies and consumers. That's the other thing. We think this isn't harming anybody, but guess where the costs go? They go right back onto the products and right back onto us. Let's just take a second, look at what these numbers are actually telling us. Listen to this. This is News Nation reporting.
A plague of fraudulent returns is hitting retailers all across the country, costing them billions. According to new data from retailers, stores took back $743 billion in return last year. More than $100 billion was returned fraudulently.
That was 2023. 2024, retailers lost approximately $103 billion to fraud and abusive returns like this. $2 billion more than the year before. I don't want to give you too many numbers, but just so you can see the difference here, the return rate for online purchases was around 25%. In-store purchases had a much lower return rate, around 9%. So 25% versus 9%. That means online returns are nearly three times more frequent. And with more returns comes more opportunities for abuse. Online fraud seems to be easier. It's kind of the perfect storm. For one, online shopping lacks that face-to-face accountability that you do tend to get in store. You're not handing something to a cashier or returning something to a real person. You're just behind a screen, and that distance makes it feel less personal, like maybe we can bend the truth. We're not really doing anything wrong. The technology lends itself to fraud, I think, in many ways, because there are these super generous return policies to keep us happy, right? Free returns, no questions asked, you know, refund. You get the refund before you've even returned the item. There's also wardrobing. Have you heard of this? This is when people buy something, clothing, handbags, whatever. They're using it, wearing it, and then they return it as if they never used it. I can speak to this. I've done a fair bit of commercial TV film work on some of these shoots. The wardrobe coordinator will literally run out that morning and go buy a bunch of clothes, have us all wear them, and then at the end of the day, they will return them after the shoot. So it's under the illusion, in a sense, that they're renting the clothes, but technically for free because they buy it and then they return it. I don't want to assume that's the total case because I didn't dig into this. Maybe they've arranged some deal with that retailer. I will give them the benefit of the doubt, but it does seem a little suspect. I'll give you one more that's overlooked. Appeasement. This is when people complain, huff and puff to customer service about something minor or even made up. This is outrageous. You should see the size of the scratch or the hole in the bag or whatever it is, just so that they can get a refund or a free replacement. And sadly, a lot of retailers just go along with it to avoid negative reviews and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. Retailers, however, are starting to fight back because this problem has gotten so big. 81% of them have added return fees to online orders to discourage some of these crazy frivolous returns. But even with all of these changes, the culture around return fraud is still growing. So why is that? PacSun is a retailer. A lot of kids shop there. They have clothing for adults too. One customer returned 250 separate orders that totaled around $24,000. Again, this is not a sophisticated scammer. This is your surface level scammer. And what did they send back? It wasn't what they received. It wasn't what they ordered. Some of these returns were fake. Some of them were used items. Some of them were just empty boxes. And now with all our technology and videos, there are entire groups that are showing people how to exploit the return policies. They're not even hiding it. The people are sharing these videos like it's a life hack. These are not sophisticated criminals, not sophisticated scammers. These are average Americans who probably care about saving stray animals, might even hold the door open for you or let you get ahead of them in line, showing kindness and consideration. At the same time, they're teaching people how to alter their labels and fake tracking info, and it's spreading to all these social platforms. And there's like this one. I found this on YouTube. Listen to this guy.
Right. So in this video, I want to show you another life hack, money tip, whatever you want to call it, that can just help put free dollars. Well, I guess they're not free, but your dollars back in your pocket for doing almost absolutely nothing. So if you use Amazon, which pretty much everybody on the planet does, what you can do is go to your list of orders and try and return some stuff and scroll through your orders until you find something that you are going to return. And it works best with things like books. Grab a book that you purchased, and let's say this one right here. And what you want to do is just click return or replace items, select the item, choose a response, inaccurate website description, and put your complaints in here. And what you're looking for is this option here, returnless refund to your Amazon account balance. And after a few seconds, boom, you just got your money back and you don't have to do anything. You don't have to return the product. You don't have to do anything.
And now he says that this video that he has put on YouTube is for educational purposes only. He's not encouraging people to do this necessarily, but he has posted a how-to video on how to do it. And I think that's unethical, unless you really need to return the book because you don't want the book. If you want the book and you do this, you're committing fraud. And so there it is, out in the open. It's not hidden somewhere on the dark web or behind bars. It looks like your neighbor, your friend, maybe even you. Back when I worked for a big retailer, I worked for their corporate offices. I had an employee discount card. And long after I left the company, the discount card still worked. And I knew that because I tested it just to see. And to my knowledge, it was supposed to be shut off when you were no longer an employee. So I was getting 30% savings all the time. And I did do the right thing after using it a little bit. I emailed HR to tell them about it and say, hey, I'm still getting the discount. I don't think I'm supposed to. You might want to shut this off or whatever. Never heard back. And so at first I thought, okay, well, that's not my problem. That's their error. I did my part and I kept using it. Then it started to get to me. I wasn't supposed to be getting this discount. So I cut up the card. That felt good. I felt free of this burden that I was carrying around. Until about 6 months later, in the mail comes a brand new discount card. I thought, oh no, okay, the devil is alive and well showing up in my mailbox. But I took this as a sign that maybe this is some kind of bonus rather than technical error. So once again, card number two, I started using it. Then all of that changed at dinner one evening. My stepson, we were at the house. This was, I think he was maybe 6 years old. And we're talking about this story. I tried so hard to do the ethical thing, the right thing, but they kept sending me this card. And then he says to me, why didn't you just stop using the card? Well, I suppose that could be a choice we could make, isn't it? So I got up from the table, felt very convicted, got out the scissors and said my final goodbyes to the discount card. He was right. In the grand scheme of things, it was a small thing, but I was modeling something far deeper and justifying a dishonest action. That's how compromise works. That's how we start to lose our character. It's slow. It's quiet. Scripture says in Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. That is a powerful contrast. Our integrity either is going to shape us toward righteousness, or we're going to get hollowed out by all of our excuses. We say one thing and then we do another. We say it's not that big of a deal until one day we don't even notice how far off course we've drifted. And it does get personal. We just don't think about it this way, because the more that return fraud spreads, the more we all have to pay. So the product that is $29 one year, the next year it's going to cost $35, not because of inflation, but because retailers have to make up the loss somewhere. So we end up paying for it. We all lose when honesty, integrity, all of that takes a backseat. Something else I've noticed in the last several years is that, like with so many things happening, fraud itself is becoming more acceptable, almost like it's an acceptable practice. I'm talking people that I know are good people who find this behavior, this type of fraud, justified. And I'll hear it. Oh, the company can afford it, or they owe me for the hassle or whatever they felt the wrong was of the company. But a reason that I see even more is that it's about convenience. It's more convenient to commit a minor fraud than it is to be honest and a person of integrity. How we live today is all about what is fast, convenient, and me first. We've turned cutting corners into a desired skill set. And anything that disrupts that flow, we're not going to do it. If we're ordering dinner, let's say, and the restaurant doesn't have an easy online ordering system, I'm probably not going to order it from there. I mean, who has the time and patience to make a phone call these days? Make it easy for me. So we're no longer asking what's the right thing to do. We're asking what is the easiest thing to do. But scripture will always call us back to truth. I've got a couple of verses for you. I know it's a lot sometimes, so I'll leave them in the notes for you. But Leviticus 19:11 says, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. Very clear. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. These are not just rules. These are reminders of who we are becoming with every choice that we make. So maybe that's the bigger question. Not did I break the rule? Am I following the rules? But what kind of person am I becoming? And I know in my path and just in life, following God, it often means choosing the harder path, doing the right thing when no one would know otherwise. It can be uncomfortable. It's often inconvenient, and it often doesn't always pay off immediately. It can be costly, but it's the kind of life and the kind of decisions that lead us to the greatest peace that we could possibly experience. It's one that honors Christ. And yeah, it is going to be costly, costly of our time, maybe even financially, all kinds of costs. And do we trust what Philippians 4:19 says? God will meet all of our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. There is no reason for us to cut corners or manipulate the system. He will provide. Do we trust that? So if we realize that we've compromised and that we've made a ton of excuses, just remember that there is grace, there is forgiveness. I don't think we need to beat ourselves up over it, but recognize, gee, I'm not as good as I thought I was. And that should point us to our need of a savior. There is a better way forward. And I think that's what we're called to be people who live differently, who resist the pressures to cut corners, who resist the desires to be like the world, who feel that they deserve it. I know what we actually deserve. And I thank God we don't actually receive that. Instead, we've been given grace. Well, if this episode stirred something in you, you might very well be one of those surface level scammers. Come talk to me about it. Share your story of cutting those corners like I did with my company discount card. You can find us in my private Facebook group, the Insight Out community. We are having these conversations there. Please subscribe, like this episode. All of that helps get the word out. And I love having you follow along. Until next time, let's choose wisely and live our lives Insight Out.